It's kind of a fun Christmas tradition at our house to get sick. Thank you, Missy, for living out the songs that we're singing. Well, today is a family Sunday, and I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm actually fine. Today's a family Sunday. On family Sundays, we have fun. God invented fun. As Christians, we need to be really good at having fun. And so we're going to do that today. So we're also going to talk about who we are here at Mayfair. If you're a visitor here, if you haven't been coming very long, or if you're just checking this out online, this is a great sermon for you to watch, because our mission at Mayfair is to belong to Jesus, to thrive in Jesus, and to go with Jesus. And we want everyone in our community, everyone in our sphere of influence, to be able to confidently say that they belong to Jesus, to be thriving in their life, not just surviving, and to be going with Jesus on his mission. We think that's the best place for everyone to be. And today we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to start out with belong. What does it mean to belong? And for this, I need some help. So if you are in kindergarten through fifth grade, if you could come down here, I need all of you, as many of you as are willing to come, to help me with this. And I need one teenager, young Liam Arntz. Lord Montague, would you come down? And all right, you guys go ahead and sit there on that pew. And Liam, you can sit right here in this wonderful, sturdy seat. All right? All right, so, hi guys. We're so glad you're here today. Come on, you can go ahead and sit right at this pew too. It's not too late. It's not too late. Just come on down. All right? This is going to be a real short illustration of what it means to belong to each other and how it benefits us, how it helps us to belong to a group of people, okay? And then I want you to make sure we've got bags for you to color and stuff when you go back to your parents, but I want to make sure you're listening because I'm going to need your help later in the sermon too. Can you guys do that? Awesome. Thank you. Okay, this is Liam. Liam is in a lot of trouble. He's a wayward young man, all right? He was following Jesus really, really hard, but now he's wandered off and he's all on his own, and he's doing things that God doesn't want him to do. I won't talk about it here at church, but we'll just say that Liam would be, he's one of those people that is way away from Jesus right now in his life, all right? Now, this is represented by the fact that Liam is by himself in a chair under a spotlight, not with anybody around him, right? And Liam needs to get back to his family. You all look back there, family wave. Do you see where his family is? Okay, Liam needs to get back to his family, all right? But he can't do it. He's not allowed to walk. He's not allowed to scooch his little chair. He's not allowed to pick up the chair and move. He can't walk on his hands, can't roll. He's basically helpless. So how can we get Liam back to his family? Or how can Liam get back to his family? Liam by himself, can he get back? No, he's stuck, right? But I didn't say that he couldn't have help. So how can we get Liam back to his family? Yes.
Pick up the chair.
Pick up the chair. And then what? Yes. Carry him to his family. I thought you were going to dump him out of the chair. That would have been fun. All right, do you guys think we can do that? Because last week, you showed me that you were very strong, right? Stronger than I think anybody in here expected when you beat me in tug of war, all right? So I know that you guys have the muscles. So let's try to pick up Liam in his chair. So come on, gather around. Everybody who wants to try to lift him up. All right, go ahead. Grab a piece of the chair. Wait. We'll do it all together. And on three. One, two, three. Oh, there we go. All right, let's waddle. There we go. Yeah. I'm really not even helping here. Look at this. All right, and gently set Liam down. Gently set him down. Okay, we'll let him get up now. All right, they did a good job, didn't they? All right, you guys go back to your moms and dads. Okay, go back to mama. It's true, I am your dad. I wouldn't believe it sometimes, but when I graduated high school, and I think this is very common, when we graduate high school, we start to get a little bit of an independence, right? We start to get it when we're teenagers, but it really takes hold when we don't have to stay in the house anymore, when we maybe get our first apartment, when we make our own rules. We start to think about who we want to be or who we are. In fact, when I graduated high school, it was a very common thing to say, I have to find out who I am. And that sounds very good, it sounds very profound, but it ended up being one of those mind viruses. You know, there's people on the 30-year quest to find out who their 18-year-old self is, and it kind of sucks away your life, because ultimately what we try to do is root our identity in just being ourselves. See, when we were young, we were part of a family. As we grew up, our identity became that we were part of that family. We were always rooted in that family. We belonged to this group of people. And then we graduate high school, we get some independence, maybe we move out, whatever it is, and we start to think, well, it's all about me. I need to find out who I am. I need to establish my own identity. And ultimately, the mistake that we make is that we source our identity in ourselves. One of my favorite quotes from a professor, I actually don't even remember which professor it was, but I remember the quote. He said, you can't know who you are until you know whose you are. Right? You can't know who you are until you know whose you are. So when we become the source of our meaning and our purpose and our identity, what we find is that we are not enough to satisfy ourselves. Right? I, Steve, am not enough to give me meaning. I'm not enough to give myself purpose. I am not a high enough calling to live for myself that I can satisfy this desire to do good in this world and to mean something with my life. I can't satisfy that. I need something bigger than me. What we're really looking for is not who we are. What we're looking for is something that transcends who we are. Something that goes beyond our own limitations and human frailty. And the text we're going to look at today gives us that. It transcends who we are. It says there is a place where you belong. Because the other option is that we root our identity and our meaning and our purpose in ourselves. And then we simply live for ourselves. And that always devolves into finding whatever pleasure suits you at the moment, whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat, whatever makes your heart feel right, right? It's like living in a Disney princess mindset, but you're in the real world. It never works, and it always leads you down paths that leave you empty and miserable. So turn with me, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we're going to see that just like Liam belong to a group of people that would help get him home, that we all have a place that we belong. We all have a person to whom we belong. And we all have a group of people with whom we belong. John chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 7 to 16, and then I'm just going to bounce around a little bit. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Verse 14, Jesus repeatedly talks about his sheep, and it's very important that you understand the difference that he's drawing between somebody who watches the sheep and somebody who owns the sheep. To own the sheep is an entirely different attitude and mindset. And so what Jesus is saying is that he's not just somebody who takes care of the sheep, takes care of us, takes care of you people. He owns them. They belong to him. And until verse 16, Jesus is actually not talking about us. He's talking about the Jewish people. This was a common analogy in the Old Testament for God's people to be talked about as sheep, and God continually talks about himself or others as shepherds over his sheep. All right, and so Jesus is saying, I am that shepherd, and I'm the good shepherd that will lay down my life for you. He's talking about the people of Israel, and then he opens it up. He says, I have other sheep, verse 16, that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about us. If you're not of Jewish descent, if you're a Gentile, he's talking about going out and saving us, which the people at that time, they were not concerned about the Gentiles. They weren't missional minded. Their idea was that they would be God's people and the rest of the world would see them and hopefully turn to God. And if not, well, that's, you know, kind of on them. But they weren't going into the world like we are. Jesus said, I'm not only going to be the shepherd for Israel, I'm going to go and I'm going to find people who did not know God, who never knew God, didn't have the Old Testament. I'm going to make them my people. I'm going to break down the barriers of race and ethnicity and even philosophy and even the Old Testament, parts of the Old Testament that were all about the law and the temple. I'm going to break all that down and I'm going to make one flock so that all of my sheep can be together, because Jesus knows that to belong to him means to be part of a flock. We find that as we belong to Jesus, we see more and more that we belong to each other too. So we need each other. The people in this room, not just the people in this room, the people at other churches that are meeting all over the state, the county, the world today, they're part of this flock too. We are those who believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have put our faith and trust and hope in his resurrection. And throughout all history, those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation have been part of one flock. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, or it doesn't matter what color your skin is, what ethnicity you hail, what you come from. It doesn't matter what any of your philosophical beliefs are, if you're conservative or liberal or whatever weird dichotomy the world has given you to fall into to divide you into smaller groups, you are one flock, and we need to act like that. He is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. We know him for salvation, and he knows us. And I love this. Understand, that idea of knowing somebody in the Bible is not just like, oh yeah, I know them, they go to my church. No, he knows you. He knows you're good. He knows you're bad. He knows you're ugly, right? You can lie to me and make me think you're a person that you're not. Happens more often than I wish it did. But you can't lie to God. You can even lie to yourself and convince you of something that's not true. But you can't lie to Jesus. He knows you. He knows you're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. And there's nothing that you can do to change that. But here's the thing. He's still the good shepherd. Even though he knows you, even though he sees you as you really are, even though he sees the side of you that you would never show in church, he is the good shepherd. And what does it mean to be the good shepherd? He literally spells it out. He is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. Look around this room. Look at the different people. Find somebody that you don't know. Find somebody that maybe you don't like very much. Would you lay down your life for that person? Would you shed your blood for that man or woman? Would you shed the blood of Jesus for that man or woman? Would you say, Jesus, I think you should sacrifice yourself for, I'm going to pick on Tom, Tom, even though I know Tom's a scoundrel. That's what God did for us. He said, my son, Steve, is a scoundrel. He's a rebel. He's a sinner. And he's constantly going to live in his sin unless he's saved. So I need you to go become human and lay down your life for Steve and for Tom and for you. That's the message of the Good Shepherd. All right, there's a lot more that goes into it, but before you understand anything, you have to know that you belong to the Shepherd. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, he died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And you belong to him. And what's amazing about this to me is that he already owned us. He made everything. He created all things. John 1 says he was there in the beginning. And without him, not one thing was made that has been made. He made you. And yet, he still purchased you. You already belong to him. He could have done anything with you. And he decided to be the God who laid down his life for you. Because he paid that price, the Bible says he redeemed us and gave us finite, limited beings. He gave us an infinite purpose, mission, and value. All right, now, how much are you worth? How much is this table worth? Well, I don't know what we paid for it, but really anything is worth what somebody will pay for it, right? I want you to think about that. Jesus gave his blood for you. You were purchased with the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus. The Good Shepherd paid the highest price, and he gives us a value that is now rooted not in our own self, but in an infinite creator, the Ancient of Days. He has sanctified us and made us holy for his great purposes. And now you and I have a purpose and a mission, not just to feed our own pleasure and to make us happy or to get through the day or to just get a new job or be successful. We have a mission that resonates into eternity because we affect other people's lives and other people's eternal destinies. You have value. In belonging to him, we belong to each other. We need the flock to get this done. I want to bring up, all right, what was this? Kindergarten to fifth graders, I need your help again. Okay, come on up, come on up, come on up. This time I want you to sit on the steps right here. And we're going to talk about what it means, again, to be part of one flock. Go ahead and sit on the steps. Okay, how old are you? Yeah. 10, how old are you? 7? 8? 5? 5. Okay. We got some 5, some 7, some 8. This is the part I'm worried about. I also need some help from people whose ages may start with that number, but there's a second digit. Okay? All I need you to do is come up here and you'll need to walk back and forth. So if you're able to do that, I need maybe 5 people to come up here and volunteer. All you have to do is walk back and forth. And if you don't, your age doesn't start with that, we'll just say, if you qualify for AARP, you can come up here. Thank you, thank you. 3 more. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, good. This is perfect. All right. Now, I won't ask your ages. Yeah. All right, 129. That's good. All right, now, I'll just ask before we do anything. Are any of you guys friends with these people? You guys hang out, you play video games on the weekends or anything like that? No? Okay, good. Now, what do you think you guys have in common with these people? Go ahead and raise your hand if you think that you have something. What does it mean to have something in common? It means we like the same thing, right? We like to do the same thing. Maybe we like the same shows. Yes. We We've been to Miss Cheryl's house. Yes, yes. Go ahead. We're all people. There you go. That's good. That's good. What are some things that are different about us? Yes. Some of you have gray hair and none of you do. Yes. This is why I do this. Yes. They're older than you. Yeah, a little bit. What are some differences? How many of you have money in your pocket right now? Raise your hand. How many of you? Yeah, there's a lot of things that make us different, right? But what's really cool is that we have a lot that we have in common, too. So we're going to play a little game, all right? This will. What I want you guys to do, go ahead and stand up. And if you like pizza on three, if you like pizza, I want you to stand over here. If you don't like pizza, I want you to stand over here. Okay? The same for you guys, right? All right. So on three. One, two, three. Pizza, no pizza. Listen, I can look up my Little Caesars history right now. Okay. If you like Taylor Swift, you come over here. If she's not one of your favorites, you stay over here. One, two, three. Taylor Swift. Do you guys know who Taylor Swift is? Yeah. Wow. We're raising some good kids here. No, I like Taylor Swift. Thank you. Yeah, goodness. All right, what are some other things that we have in common? Let's do some audience participation. Arby's. If you like Arby's, come over here. If you don't like Arby's, come over here. All right. All right, what are some other things we have in common that aren't food? All right, if you like dogs better, you come over here. If you like cats better, you come over here. We gotta pick one. Gotta pick one. So dogs, cats. All right. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay, you can be in the middle. That works. That works. If you like movies, come over here. If you don't like to watch movies, come over here. All right. If you like Disney World, come over here. Three. One, two, three. If you don't like Disney World, you come over here. It's the people who have to pay for Disney World that don't like Disney World. Yeah. All right. All right. If you love Jesus, stand right here in the middle. Yeah, there we go. All right. Did you guys notice that even though there were things that are different, there was never a time when it was all grown-ups and all kids? We all have a lot more in common than you think. And you know what? Because we all know Jesus and love Jesus, we could all have wonderful friendships, even though some people might be taller than us, some people might be older than us, they might have different jobs, different things that we like. We can all have that relationship. That's what it means to be one flock. They did a great job. Didn't they do a great job? All right, you guys can go back and sit down with your parents or with your kids. All right, go back to Mama, buddy. I think you should have a bag at your pew. If not, maybe our ushers can get you a bag. She needs a bag. Okay, we're trying to entertain the kids here, but isn't it interesting? Listen, everywhere I've gone, I have found so much more in common with people that I did not expect to have a friendship with. And it all started because the blood of Christ has saved both of us from our sins. Jesus says in verse 9, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in and out and find a pasture. So Jesus gives us that relationship, that basis for being together, but he also puts us in a place where we belong. All right? He gives us a person to whom we belong with him. We belong to him. He gives us a group of people with whom we belong. We belong with each other. And he gives us a place where we belong. And he describes this as pasture. And it echoes back into Psalm 1, and actually throughout the Psalms, where you talk about lying down in green pastures, all right, near cool, fresh water, where we are safe, where we can thrive, where we can build a family, where we can be sustained. Don't miss this. Everything that we need comes from knowing not who you are, but whose you are. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has given us everything we need. He sustains our physical life. He gives us that good pasture. We have breath in our lungs because of who he is. Food and water and provision because of his love and his providence. He gives us safety and security, love, belonging, value, purpose, self-actualization. He gives us a reason to be. You don't have to go and search the world to find out who you are or where you belong. Jesus is always right there telling you, you belong with me. You belong to your shepherd. And he's offering that to you. That life where you can thrive. We're going to talk about thrive next time I preach. But understand that offer is available to absolutely anybody who hears this message and believes. The sheep don't have to do anything except for hear the voice of the shepherd. He says, they know my voice and they follow me. I want to give you the opportunity today to do that. Jesus is right here giving that same message that he gave 2,000 years ago. That if you trust me, if you believe in me, if you follow me, I've already done the work to cover your sins. I've already done the work to take all your bad and all your baggage and give you a life worth living. All you have to do is trust me, follow me. If you're ready to do that, if you haven't done that at some point in your life, or if you've done that, but like young Liam, you had strayed and you need to come back, today is the day to do that. Don't make any New Year's resolutions until you know that you belong to the Good Shepherd and you start to resolve that I'm going to live his way, not mine. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to ask forgiveness. So many times I do things my own way. Like sheep, we have gone astray. But you are always there to take me back. You're always there calling. You're always there saying, I have a better life for you. Father, help us. Help us to remember every day who we belong to. And show us, out of that belonging, how to build a life that is thriving. How to be on mission with you. Father, we want to give our entire lives not for our own pleasure, but for something so much greater. The eternal glory of the Ancient of Days. Our Father, our Shepherd, we want to live for you. Help us as we go into this new year to not resolve to do anything unless it would please and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.